Buckle up, hotties. It's time to talk some hoops. Welcome to Crunch Wears No Pants with Brandon, Nate, and Jordan.
What's poppin', baby people? Welcome to Crunch Wears No Pants, brought to you from the freaking Pull Tab Sports Podcast Network and brought to you by freaking Duke Cannon, Chill Boys, Denheads, and Lamb Chops. I'm Jordan Allman. That's Brandon Beck, and that is Nathan Alsdorf, and we are winning the goddamn NBA Finals. Gentlemen, we're coming off a Game 2 victory, a resounding victory over the Phoenix Suns. How are you feeling? How are the vibes? Brandon, start us off.
I am never gonna die. Everything in my life is perfect at this very moment. Jaden McDaniels has the worst contract in NBA history, but it's because he is severely underpaid. Make Jaden McDaniels the owner of the Timberwolves. Make him the owner of the Suns.
He already is.
Nice. Durf, how are your vibes? How are you feeling?
My vibes are they're perfect. I don't have words. I don't have words for my vibes. I've hit a new threshold for vibes, vibisms.
Are you guys inebriated right now? Because I'm flowing through some red wine river right now and I have no idea what's going on. So we haven't done show prep. We haven't really talked about it. We hopped on a Zoom and hit record. I want to do quick fire three things we saw from the game tonight, and we're each going to take one and go through it quickly, and then we don't need to be beholden to this. We can go longer. But Brandon, you talked about Jaden McDaniels. You want to take us through the Jaden experience tonight and what you were seeing on the court and what you were feeling, what you were observing?
Well, yeah, I mean, I know he was awesome from the eye test, but like this was the Jaden McDaniels game. Like he was in a game with Devin Booker and Kevin Durant and Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns and Bradley Beal and Rudy Gobert, Jaden McDaniels was the best player on the court on both ends. He did a fantastic job once again on Devin Booker. He guarded Kevin Durant a lot, and we talked a lot last show about how we were just going to let Kevin Durant get his. Well, he didn't let Kevin Durant get his. And then on top of it, he was just an offensive force. He was getting to the rim and finishing. He was knocking down his threes. He was super active on the glass on a night where kind of early we were kind of getting punked on the glass, and Jaden and Kat really stepped up and did a lot of work on the glass. Jaden was a plus 24 tonight. The next highest was plus 16. Oh. He played 41 minutes. He was spectacular. Yeah. 25 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, only 1 turnover, only 3 fouls, 41 minutes. Did you guys see the functional moron tweet?
No, what was it?
Mm-hmm. Before the game.
That's Panty Nation member of the year nominee, functional moron to you, Brandon.
Before the game, functional moron just goes, LOL, what if Jaden just randomly scores 25 tonight?
No. Did he really?
I'm not joking.
Nah, dude. All right, I'm
like,
checking it out.
I feel on the nose before the game.
I feel like this is not an oddity for him. I feel like he's done this multiple times. He's kind of like, he throws out random predictions before the game, and like 75% of the time they hit.
It's not just that he had a good game. He scored exactly 25 points.
Has he addressed it? I haven't been on Twitter. We were hosting.
I retweeted it, and it's been going off since the game ended.
Good.
But no, we talked, like, in the last episode, we talked about Jaden McDaniels and how he really set the tone and played a perfect game. Somehow he was even better in this game. If there was a first round series MVP award and the series ended today, it would go to Jaden McDaniels. I mean, he has been phenomenal in this series after a tough season when he took a lot of shit on the internet from a lot of people. And he is more than earning that contract with these performances.
It's so great to see, dude. We talked about, like, no one's going to remember if, like, the postseason goes well. No one will remember Jaden, like, struggling in the regular season. They'll just remember him putting the team on his back in the playoffs. Like, he's going back to, like, Jaden last year status. He's, Durf, you're smiling like a proud dad. What do you think about Jaden's performance?
I'm smiling because your audio is effed up again.
You just got to turn your camera off, man.
Actually?
Yeah, you were talking like a robot, and then you were talking in fast forward.
Oh, really? Oh, whatever.
I can talk about that.
It's just so cool to see.
That's why I was smiling, though. Well, we talked about this in the first game. He is getting up for these games. And like we talked about this at Lynx, that he is a type of player that he needs motivation. Like he has that fight in him. You know that the wall in Target Center knows that he's got fight. And obviously like
Devin Booker knows it.
Devin Booker knows that. But like to see him consistently in these two games, put it all out on the court. He has been like doing what he can on offense. Obviously it was a lot this game. But it was like, even in the first game, I don't remember. He probably had like 13 points or something in the first game, but they were a really effective and important 13 points. Cause you just don't expect that from him. Do you have it up, Beck?
No, I don't. I just have the box score from tonight. I don't remember, but he didn't shoot well from three, but he got to the rim in that game too.
Yeah.
Jordan, just a question for you. 12 hours after saying, I don't think I could ever hate Devin Booker, how are you feeling?
Bro, he sucks. He's the worst dude ever.
Oh, I fell down.
Whatever. Fake tough guy. Bro, you betrayed D'Angelo Russell at Target Center a couple years ago. I saw it. Your karma, dude. You do have friends and you betrayed them, and this is what you deserve.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the next
is my
thing?
Audio freaking
I did say we talked about being able to hate this team, and tonight I had some realizations that I hate Devin Booker and I hate Bradley Beal, and I knew I disliked Bradley Beal, but then after tonight I was like, okay, F you, Bradley Beal. And Eubanks,
and I go,
okay, granted, I want to see Eubanks out there a lot, but him having two plays and then having it go to his head and he's like flexing on
guys, Drew Eubanks, a team high +9 for the Phoenix Suns.
Bro, I'm saying you got to let Drew Eubanks yam it like early in the game so he gets to his head. And he's like, yeah, I'm feeling myself. I retweeted something that I was like, Drew Eubanks waved off Kevin Durant. Like, don't do that. I don't think you should do that. That's great for my team. I love it. Should we go to a number two? Durf, do you have a number two thing you observed? What was the second big key takeaway you had from this game?
Grayson Allen's ankle is not built for this. That was big.
That's huge.
The fact that we knew he was going to be playing through pain with this whole thing. They kind of said that, like, he has a rolled ankle. It's swollen, but he's going to try to play through it. And that didn't work out for him. I mean, he had a pretty bad roll, re-injured an already injured ankle. And like, who knows if we'll see him again this series? Like, obviously we'll see, like, if it's bad enough where has to get tested or whatever, but that's huge. Like, that's their fourth best player. And there's a big drop off after that.
And that was a huge inflection point in the game. Like, the game was still in the balance when that happened. And you look at like their starting lineups: Kevin Durant -24, Yusuf Nurkic -21, Beal -11, Booker -24, Grayson Allen +3 in 17 minutes. It just really changes what they can do on offense. Like, he, as crazy as it sounds on a team with Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, and Kevin Durant, he is super important to kind of the idea that they are a tough matchup for the Wolves, because as their fourth best player, he is an elite, elite spacer. And if he's done for the series, if the series isn't already over just because it's 2-0.
Hang on. Let's not say that yet.
I said if it is.
He said if.
Yeah.
I said if the series isn't over just because it's 2-0, they're going to have a really tough time without Grayson Allen, because they're already just not a very deep team. They're going to have to find guys who can play. And I don't know who that is. Eric Gordon was pretty good for them tonight, but Eric Gordon also just isn't very good. So I'm not betting on that continuing to happen. Royce O'Neal was terrible.
Dude, I didn't even realize he didn't score in almost 18 minutes. He didn't Did he attempt a shot? He was 0 for 0. He didn't attempt a shot in 17 minutes. That's unbelievable.
No, Royce O'Neal.
Royce O'Neal.
Made one. I was all saying, like, wait, hang on.
I said,
Grayson only made one shot.
Yeah. But I was saying Royce didn't score, and then I realized he did not attempt a shot in his 18 minutes on the 17 and a half minutes.
Guys, Functional Moron did respond to his Jaden McDaniels prediction. He said, I just know ball. Simple as.
Did you guys hear that Functional Moron and I are doing a mixtape together once his knee heals up?
Really?
I saw that on Twitter.
He responded to my hype video, my mixtape from a couple years ago that I posted.
Everybody's got to go follow Durf on Twitter, because if he doesn't get to 1,000 followers before the season's over, we have to kick him off the pod. Those are the rules.
They have to bring in Lou Amundsen to take my spot. So
yep. We have Goop.
Not gonna be
happy. Pod Goop.
I don't want Pod Goop.
If the audio is gonna be bad, because it's gonna be covered in the audio files are covered in goop.
I'm worried that if it was just a Brandon and me pod, it would just be me instigating Brandon and saying, like, well, have you considered that, you know, maybe John Lucas III would have been great if he's on this modern team? And just like, so we weren't talking about that.
2 hours later, like, they did not talk about Wolves basketball.
It was all about the bad
trying to talk about Wolves basketball, and Jordan just being like, what weird sexual reference that was mixed into that normal thing you said?
He's like, scrotum, scrotum, scrotum. And you're trying to make like palpable points.
It's scrotum, like, nightmare, 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 but it's scrotum, scrotum, scrotum.
Nightmare, nightmare. That's Jaden McDaniels while he's guarding Devin Booker and Kevin Durant.
That's great. Okay,
Jordan, take number your turn.
Three. Yeah, I'll take number three. This all happened without Ant and Kat having good games, which is insane to me. I don't know where I want to go with this, but like, first half Kat was just like horrendous, stray voltage everywhere. And then the second half he locked in. I tweeted this, like, he did like the whole Kat offense, trudged the mud to get us to like a medium size lead. He was rebounding like hell. There was lots of gravity. I remember there was a play where it was Kat and Gobert doing like the 7 foot PNR. Gobert takes some defenders with him to the rack. Kat pulls him out to the elbow, and then Jaden cuts to the rim, and then just Kat made the easy play and hit Jaden. I was like, oh my God, like, look at this. Mm-hmm. Look at this go. So I'm trying to like formulate the third point around Ant and Kat not really doing well. But the team's just stepping up. Your thoughts,
Brad? I mean, that's just the defense. Like, they only gave up 93 points. And so I know it's like, it's frustrating when they're trudging through the mud and they're trailing and all that stuff, but at the end of the day, if you only give up 93 points, you're giving yourself like a really good chance to win. And I know they didn't have like huge games, but at the beginning of the second half, Kat was like, Phoenix had no answer for Kat, and he just went at the rim like three times, finished and won. And that just kind of like unclogged the offense a little bit. And then Ant hit a couple like big shots in the fourth quarter as kind of just like, the thing about Ant is, if he hits shots in the fourth quarter, it feels like they're worth like 10 because of how they just awaken the Target Center crowd. The real reason that they were able to survive without them was because Jaden McDaniels and Mike Conley and Rudy Gobert were just fantastic offensively in that game.
Exactly.
Mike in the first half and Jaden in the second half.
And you can't see my face because my camera's off, because I need to do this to mitigate Wi-Fi issues. But like, I don't think that's disappointing. I think if anything, it's encouraging. That's like, hey, our two star players, our two offensive juggernauts, weren't like, they had their moments where they weren't really cracking, and they still found a way to play a role and impact the game positively. I think we've been begging for Kat and Ant to find ways to impact the game positively without scoring, and Kat did that with spacing and gravity and passing, and Ant did that similarly just by making the smart plays. So it just speaks to how much this team trusts each other and how well they know their identity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
it is really encouraging, and we've seen that all year round. Where like these are where the Naz Reid games have come in throughout the year, or the Nikhil Alexander Walker games, or tonight,
or the Jaden McDaniels Naz Reid game.
Yeah, congrats, by the way, Jaden.
Now ranks third all time.
But like, it's those guys. Like, we've seen that throughout the year, where guys step up, like those points come from somewhere. It's kind of next man up mentality. But like, Kat had some questionable plays here and there, and there was a little bit like out of control Kat showing up.
The first half, honestly, it was bad.
Yeah.
But I was nervous about my agenda.
It was a lot of it was just like he didn't play. Like he only played 23 minutes, and that's not to take away from, yes, he had control over some of the fouling. Like he does need to take control of that and also adjust when you're seeing a game being refereed a certain way. But
yeah, I think the fouls in the first half, I think at least two of the fouls in the first half were just kind of like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah. Just dumb fouls. But he still was 3 for 7. Like he just didn't have that many attempts because he didn't play very much. But to your point, like him seeing him and Ant still be able to come alive in the fourth, like it's encouraging that they're still even after like three bad quarters coming in and still kind of having like a short memory, still getting shots up, still having clutch shots. And like you said, like those baskets matter more because of the situation that we're in and the fact that it kind of builds momentum.
And the fact that they come from Ant, like his shots have this magic power over the target center that like when it feels like when Ant makes a shot in the fourth quarter at home, that it's worth 10, like, because it just like awakens everybody.
Yeah. And he smiles at the crowd. It's so sick.
And I know his numbers, like back to Kat just quick. I know his like overall numbers in this series aren't going to look very good from what I've seen. If he can stay on the floor, Phoenix just doesn't have anything for him. Like they don't have anyone who can guard Kat. They're going to have to bring doubles to stop him. And if he can just get doubled and make simple passes out of it, they're just going to be able to find good offense out of that. Or if they don't double him, he's just going to score every time because they don't have anyone big enough and fast enough to guard him.
I mean,
his problem has just been staying on the floor
earlier.
Yeah. And I think even with only,
sorry,
it's even with only 12 points tonight, it felt that way in the second half tonight at the start too. He just got that fourth foul again. So I don't know. I'm feeling very confident about Kat in this matchup. I think at this point they just got to win one of these next two games in Phoenix, and that's just like curtains on the series. Like
that was my next question.
One of the next two.
I thought it was interesting. The last two episodes we talked a little bit about like kind of the two big swings our way is like the way that one, how we were rebounding, like how game one, how we just destroyed them on the glass. And in the first half, that was a struggle. The other part is like the way the game was officiated. So like they really let us play game one. Obviously they were calling a lot more fouls this game. And the other, I guess the third thing is them getting out in transition. There was a lot of transition from the Suns in the first half.
Yeah. And that happens when you don't make shots is what happens.
There was, like not making shots and then not cleaning glass offensively. Like I was looking through this and like the number of guys that didn't have any offensive boards for us is, I mean, it tells the story that we're talking about of just like not being able to get our own like second chance buckets. But having the three main things that are kind of in the swing of things, like swing in the direction of the Suns and still be able to kind of like climb out of that hole is super impressive. Cause those are the three things that, I don't know, like that can determine a game if you're not careful. So to see us kind of like be able to make the necessary adjustments. Go ahead, Beck.
Yeah. I mean, we got to see him. Like I said, we got to see him win one in Phoenix, but I'm just questioning the idea that Phoenix is a bad matchup for us. From what I've seen from these two games, Phoenix's ability to like space us out pales in comparison to just how much bigger and stronger than them we are. Like we got kind of punked. We got kind of caught on our heels in the first half on the offensive glass, but then we killed them on the offensive glass and the defensive glass in the second half. And like, they just don't shoot enough three-pointers to really, really punish us with space. Like they do so much work in the mid-range. They don't get to the rim. They're just going to win this series. They need to win four out of the next five games, and they would just need absurd like shooting from long two, which is possible. They have Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. Like the series isn't over, but it's it's close.
That was okay. So this is my, should we wrap it up? I have one final question for you guys. I'll spawn like maybe another like 5 to 7 minute conversation. Are you guys at all concerned about front running? I feel like there's a lot of front running on Twitter right now. I feel like we're front running a little bit, saying like, we're going to send this home. Are you guys concerned about that? As you know, Timberwolves fan DNA, we have a little bit of a, we've been prone to like blow things. Are you worried about that or not? Is my question.
No, talk shit when things go good. Talk shit when things go good. Wear it when they don't.
Go ahead.
I'm not concerned because I don't think that's the mentality of the team. Like, I think they're going to go into Phoenix and they're going to try to assert their dominance again. And like I said, they've just given themselves so much room for error. They need to win one of these next two games. Don't let Phoenix back up off the mat. But guess what? It doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter if we talk shit on Twitter. It's not going to impact anything. Talk shit when things are going good. It's fun.
I totally agree. I'm having a lot of fun. Durf, your thoughts. Are you concerned about front running?
No. For all the same reasons that Beck said. And also, there's a certain level of just confidence that I have in this team that I don't think I've ever had with, like, we talked about this last time, but like probably the 2009 Vikings is the last time that I felt this confident about a team just from
jump scare.
I know. Sorry for all that. Sorry. Trigger warning for everybody listening that was a fan in that era. But I mean, just from a top to bottom, like the mentality of this team, the way that, I mean, it's such a big sample size, an 82 game season where we have consistently answered the bell, not losing three games in a row, making adjustments when needed. Like, this team is so good and so deep. And like, I mean, we'll see how the series plays out and possibly future series. But from this matchup currently, for all these reasons, like what I'm seeing on the court is giving me an insane amount of confidence. And like, even when they were healthy, and they might even be down a starter, and they have a very shallow bench. Like, I don't know. Just have a good time. Enjoy it. Like, we're watching sports. Sports are supposed to be fun. Rub it in your friends' faces that are Suns fans. Sorry, Nate.
I don't do that. I don't talk to my, I'm not talking to Augie. I'm not talking to Nate about this series.
I'm not saying directly. Do it, and then they see it. Don't feel bad about it.
Okay, so here's my stance on front running. I will do it because my basketball team was ran by David Kahn. There's nothing you can do that can hurt me that David Kahn hasn't done to me. I watched take two people over Steph Curry. I think I saw Wolf Hot Box Scores say something like, I'm a Minnesota Timberwolves fan. I'm a cockroach. I can survive a nuclear war. So like, if anything bad happens, I don't care. I've seen so much worse. Like, this is an amazing situation. So I'm going to keep front running in a respectful way.
It's going to suck if/when they lose. It's not going to suck less if you didn't enjoy it when it was good. It probably is going to suck more because you didn't have any fun.
Yeah.
I'm having so much fun.
You don't.
This is great.
You don't ignore the fun parts just because something bad's going to happen. It's like the Mitch Hedberg joke. Like, no, I don't want an apple. Eventually it's going to be a core. Like,
yeah.
Like, eat the apple.
That's a great reference.
Oh my God.
It's just so stupid because it's like, yeah, eventually things are going to get bad in anything. Like if you zoom back far enough, like I said, like in my rant last year, get high.
Smoke, get high on the team. Smoke on these Timberwolves.
Yes, sir.
Anything else you guys want to say? Is there anything else?
Buckle up. Stats? I still think the Suns have a swing left in them. Like, Kevin Durant and Devin Booker are too good. Yeah. Don't panic if they lose game three. Like, it's fine. But front run if they win it.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. All right. If you made it this far in the podcast, which was not far because this was a short episode, make sure you follow us on social media at No Pants Crunch, and make sure you like and subscribe and rate us on Spotify and Apple Music. Remember, 1 star or 5 star. If you're going to say something,
stand on it. And follow Durf. Follow Durf. Follow Durf. Save his job.
Follow Durf. At Tallsdurf. T-A-L-L-S-D-U-R-F. Timberwolves in bio is the full name.
Am I forgetting anything, guys? I think that's it. Wait, hang on. Oh, yeah. Oh, wait, that's right. If you're driving stupidly in a residential area, I am... Have a good night. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.